We interrupt our regular programming on this Flagler Broadcasting Station to go live to the Flagler County Emergency Operations Center for a Hurricane Dorian press conference.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. My name is Julie Murphy. I'm Flagler County Public Information Officer, and I would like to introduce our Emergency Management Director, Jonathan Lord.
Good morning, and thank you for being here. Before we've had a lot of questions about why we hadn't ordered evacuations at the same time as some of our neighboring counties to the north and to the south. And the main reason for that is St. John's County and Duval, have, as well as Volusia County and Brevard to the south, have a significantly higher population than us and need additional evacuation time that we don't need here in Flagler County. And what we do here and rely on is we do phased evacuations and focus on the most vulnerable populations first, such as those with special medical needs that go to our special needs shelter, as well as nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and group homes. So as of 8 o'clock this morning, last night they were told they had to evacuate as of 8 o'clock this morning. Currently, effective noon today, we're issuing evacuation orders for all residents and visitors in evacuation zones A, B, F, as well as those in flood-prone areas and mobile and manufactured homes. Again, that's effective noon today. We encourage all residents to heed that order and are directed to leave those areas and complete their evacuations by 3 p.m. tomorrow. So they have from noon today to 3 p.m. tomorrow. If any residents or visitors have evacuation plans to take them outside of Flagler County, we advise that you leave immediately. So again, those that are planning to leave the county as part of their evacuation plan, do so immediately. For those that are going to stay within the county or seek public shelter within the county, do so starting at noon, but make sure your evacuation is complete by 3 p.m. tomorrow. All evacuation orders within Flagler County are considered mandatory. Bunnell Elementary School is opening a general population shelter with pet-friendly sheltering capabilities as soon as the order is issued, again, at noon today. We have already opened our special needs shelter at Rimfire Elementary School and have already received some evacuees effective 8 o'clock this morning. And those users of the special needs shelter include those with special medical needs in zones A, B, F, flood-prone areas, and mobile homes, as well as electrically dependent special needs folks throughout the entire county. Residents will be permitted to bring certain items with them that the school superintendent will address, and residents with pets that are going to the Bunnell Elementary School shelter are also reminded that your animals should be crated. Animals must have current vaccination records and supplies, including medications, and pets that we can accept in the shelter include dogs, cats, birds, rabbits, rodents, and turtles. And we do have a 4-pet maximum for the shelter. No snakes, reptiles, or farm animals or livestock are allowed to be in our shelter. We also do not allow people just to drop off their pets at the shelter and leave them there and go elsewhere. I also want to advise that effective immediately on Tuesday, as well as Wednesday, Flagler government, normal government offices and services will be suspended, and we'll reevaluate for the rest of the week once we understand the conditions that Hurricane Dorian will impact upon us. Again, we are expecting that Hurricane Dorian will start seeing impacts on Tuesday evening. Therefore, our evacuation order that we've just shared to be effective as of noon, we want residents and visitors to have completed their evacuations by 3 p.m. tomorrow. That provides enough time in case the storm changes speed that people can be sheltered safely. Thank you.
Now I'd like to introduce Flagler School Superintendent Jim Tager.
Thank you. Good morning. Flagler Schools is grateful for the continued cooperation among our partners as we prepare for this storm. First, we have made a decision to cancel classes for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We will make a decision on Friday, probably on Wednesday, to give everybody advance notice. But right now, we are closed for school on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We also have a scheduled school board workshop and budget meeting for Tuesday. Those meetings have also been postponed and will be scheduled at a later date. Our shelter teams have been waiting since Saturday morning and are ready to get to work. We look forward to serving others as our guests. Rimfire is open, as Jonathan already mentioned, and Bunnell Elementary School is scheduled to open today at noon. These shelters are shelters of last resort. We have staff ready to work around the clock to make things as comfortable as possible for our guests. We are prepared to feed those in the shelters. Your safest and best bet is to evacuate the area, but we promise to treat all of our shelter guests as our guests, and we will serve them to the best of our ability. Should you use an emergency shelter, please prepare to bring at least 5 days of medications in original containers, any required medical supplies and equipment, at least 5 days worth of non-perishable food items for dietary needs or preference. Bedding materials should include pillows, blankets, linens. You may have access to a cot depending on the supplies at the shelter. Personal items, glasses, hygiene items, clothing, etc. should be brought. Important documents that you should include are identification, medical history, and insurance. Rimfire is a special needs shelter, and we have 19 guests so far at this point and expect more. Do not bring, and I'm sure Sheriff Staley will address this, alcohol, firearms, or illegal drugs. We partner with our Sheriff's Department and treasure that partnership, and they will be at each of our shelters as well. We will treat everybody with dignity and respect, and we expect the same in kind for our employees who are giving up their time to help others. Thank you very much, and be safe.
Now we will hear from law enforcement, starting with Sheriff Rick Staley.
Well, good morning. Let me just piggyback with what the superintendent just said. You do need to check in with ID. If you do not have ID when you come in, we will use our rapid ID to verify your identity to make sure that you are not a sexual predator or a wanted individual going into the shelters. If you are classified as a sexual predator, you are not to go to either one of the schools that are open for shelters. And if you need a shelter, you are to report to the Flagler County Jail on Justice Lane, and we will have a location there for you at that facility. There will be a curfew starting Tuesday at 7 p.m., for evacuation zones A, B, and F. And that curfew will be in effect until emergency management gives the okay, the all clear that you can return to your homes or businesses. I want to make it very clear to any criminal element that thinks they can prey on our community during this time, during this emergency. You will ride out the storm at the county jail. Law enforcement is united. The curfew gives us some additional powers and authority to determine why you're out moving about in these evacuated areas, and you're very likely to end up in jail. Flagler Beach Police Department, Bunnell Police Department, Florida Highway Patrol are here with me, so take this warning. Now is not the time to try to prey on this community. We will have extra deputy sheriffs on duty starting tonight. Actually, they've already started today, but Alpha Bravo squads, as we call it, which basically means all hands on deck, will be in full force starting at 6 p.m. tonight. So don't test our will on this. I can't make it any clearer. I'd also like to commend the community. I've been throughout the community, and I think that you have really heeded the warnings, and you're taking this storm seriously, as you should. I've lived in Florida my entire life. This is probably the strongest storm that I have seen in my lifetime. This is a very dangerous storm. Hopefully it will make this northeast turn and go further out, but we're going to get something, that's for sure. Question is, how bad will it be? So with that, know that your sheriff's office is prepared to serve you. Bridges will close when wind speeds hit 45 miles per hour sustained, and if you haven't left the barrier island at that point, you're stuck. And if you get in trouble at that point and you call 911, at some point we have to return first responders to their safe zone. And we will come and try to assist you after the storm. So don't put yourself in that position. Heed these warnings, evacuate, and all your property, those kind of things, can be replaced. Your life cannot. I'd like to turn it over to Flagler Beach Chief Matt Downey.
Thank you, Sheriff. And good morning to everybody. In 2016 and 2017, the hashtag Flagler Strong came about as a result of Hurricanes Matthew and Irma. It's back, unfortunately, but with Dorian, this is a monster that nightmares are made of. Please heed the warning if you live in Flagler Beach and evacuate. Flood zones A and B are the Barrier Island and those homes that border the Intercoastal Waterway. We're talking storm surge and waves 15 to 20 feet. Heed the warning and evacuate. Shelters are open. If you do stay, please abide by the curfew because the Flagler Beach Police Department, the Flagler County Sheriff's Office, and the Florida Highway Patrol will be out there to watch to see if that criminal element does try to prey on our community in their time of need. So just remember, hashtag Flagler Strong. God bless.
As you can see, we have a great partnership with the Highway Patrol. The number three of the Highway Patrol is here, Chief Derek Bars. Chief.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you all very much. Just a couple of things I'd like to reiterate and talk a little bit about from the state perspective and the Florida Highway Patrol. We are here in partnership with this community to do everything that we can to support this community. Whether it be manning a bridge for evacuations, wherever that may be, we are going to be here to support this community from our perspective. Please make sure that for the evacuees, people that are leaving this community as well to go seek shelter, please make sure that you're following all the message board signs that we have that are being placed along the interstate system. The message boards that the county or the cities may be putting up along the roadways, please make sure you follow those. And just make sure that you're keeping in contact with all the emergency management and all the updates that are going on that you're being provided so you have the most up-to-date information possible so you can make an informed decision. We are here to support this community, as I mentioned earlier, and as we move forward, pre-storm and post-storm, we will be here to try to assist any way that we can to get this community back on its feet. Thank you very much.
We'll open it up for questions. If you speak loudly, I'll repeat the question.
Jonathan, you mentioned about the evacuations. It wasn't very clear when you said mobile homes. All mobile homes across the county or just in those areas?
The question is for clarity about mobile homes. Here's Jonathan Lord.
Yes, all mobile homes throughout the entire county. Mobile homes and manufactured homes.
Okay. Can you also tell us how many days supplies do county and law enforcement vehicles have of fuel?
Our fuel tanks here are full. We refueled a couple days ago and have been refueling, so we have at least a week's worth of fuel for regular operations at this point in time.
And for a question for Derek, at what time do you expect peak time of travel on highways tomorrow?
Well, it's undetermined right now because different locations across the state are having different evacuations. Right now, we've been seeing the same amount of travel or even less traffic on the highways than a normal Monday, and even yesterday traffic counts were at a normal Sunday, so that's what we're seeing right now. We're not seeing any increase at this point in time.
And generally speaking, you're seeing people go west or north?
They're going north at this point. I can't answer the question about whether they're going west or not, but I can get back to you on that.
Do we have any other questions?
Not illegal for them to stay in their homes, A, and B, what are the circumstances when they could be walking around on the Barrier Island, for instance, that would not expose them to arrest?
So it's not illegal to not evacuate. We're not going to arrest you, obviously, if you don't leave your property, although we highly recommend that you do. We're not going to let you, because you make a bad decision, endanger first responders, and that's the whole entire umbrella, whether it's fire department, rescue, or law enforcement. Which means at some point we are not going to be able to respond if all of a sudden you find 3 or 4 feet of water in your house and it's rising and you chose not to leave. You're on your own at that point because we can't get to you. Bridges by that point will be closed, and first responders have to serve an entire community. So we ask that you don't put yourself in a bad position with a bad decision and then call 911 expecting us to rescue you, because it's not going to be able to happen. We'll come when it's safe to do that and check and then provide assistance at that point. As far as your second question, when residents can walk around, they cannot walk around until the curfew has been lifted. So 7 p.m. Tuesday in zones A, B, and F, you can't drive around, you can't walk around. Wherever you are, you have to stay put, hunker down if you did not evacuate, until the county gives the all clear and that it's safe to do so. Keep in mind that most fatalities and serious injuries occur after the storm. It's not during the storm. It's because people get out, walk around, there's live wires, power lines that have fallen down, or tree branches and trees that have been uprooted and haven't maybe fallen yet and then fall. So that's why we don't want you out walking around and driving around. In addition, we want to make sure that we can find the criminal element that may try to prey on this community. And let me also mention that after an event, many unscrupulous contractors will try to come into the area and get you to sign insurance policies to them, and then you never see them again or they don't do the work. Make sure that you don't overreact, get proper bids, check out these contractors to make sure they're licensed, they have the insurance. You can check the state, you can check locally with the municipalities and the county to see if they're permitted. Take a few extra minutes to properly vet these contractors. It'll save you a lot of heartache in the long run.
Okay. You mentioned, this question is for us, but you mentioned phasing out the evacuation starting with assisted living homes and nursing homes. How many of those people are you expecting to evacuate, and when are you expecting them to complete that evacuation?
So that order was issued at 8 o'clock. It was issued last night for take effect 8 o'clock this morning. We have a handful of facilities within those evacuation zones. So luckily, we don't have a lot. One of them has up to 120 clients at a time, and the census varies based on the day. And we expect them to be done as of tomorrow morning as well. Or instead of three, but tomorrow morning.
Jonathan, FDL.
Yes, so FPL is also staging at their newish facility, a year or two old, next to the hospital, as well as they are staging out-of-state crews and tree crews at the airport as we speak. They actually started arriving yesterday, I believe.
We have time for one last question, if there is one. All right, I would like to thank everybody for coming, and remember that our call center number is area code 386-586-5111. And to all our media partners, thank you so very much for being here to help us get this important information out to our residents. Be safe.
Keep listening to all four Flagler Broadcasting radio stations. We'll be updating you 4 times an hour with the latest on Hurricane Dorian and its effects on Flagler County. We now return to regular programming.